Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, "He shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Chapter 30, book of 1 Samuel, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WBFF Radio 97.7. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now that's where David's family was. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, Ahinoah, and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was the leader of his mighty men, 600 or 700 at this point. And they're very angry because David led them over to the Philistines' war. And in the meantime, their wives and children were carried off. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, "Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after his troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." There is the key to success. Ask God what you should do.
No matter what the odds look like.
Yes, no matter what the odds look like, ask God what you should do. And you'll see that David does this all along until a certain point in his life when he becomes fat and happy and he kind of just forgets about asking God. He gets tangled up in worldly affairs and suffers greatly for it. Just as you and I do, Christian. Oh, I know, you're all holy and this and that, but yeah, we all do it. You got to admit it. We, you know, you always see this, that little thing about the footprints in the sand, you know, and two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden there's one God carrying you. But there's another verse to that poem. There's two footprints in the sand, and one gets way out ahead of the other one sometimes. That's you and I. And God's always right there following along, but you gotta keep up with his cadence. Sometimes you get out ahead of him and forget he's back there. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. Wow. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, serving to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." So this guy is a servant of the band that took David's wives and children. "We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." He's just like giving himself a death sentence right there. He's just telling all these things that he did.
Honest to a fault.
Yes. He just opened up his heart. "Oh, yeah, we did this and this and this."
Yeah.
David started thinking, "Hey, I'm going to kill you as soon as I get the information I need." David said unto him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company? Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, swear unto me, my God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. It was an entire day and a half of smiting. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And it was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all, and David took all the flocks and the herds which were drave before these other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint, could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. When David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. There we got the sons of Belial again. Mm-hmm. That means sons of a wicked heart, men of a wicked heart, the original SOB. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. God has blessed us. You will share it with these men. It wasn't their fault that they were so out of breath and tired that they couldn't come. Who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came unto us into this hand? For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. Here we go with the stuff again. Mm-hmm. They left all their camp there with those 200 men. They shall partake alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. When David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, and to them that which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jitter. So he took all the stuff that was stolen from Israel and returned it. And to them which were in Aror, and to them which were in Sipmoth, to them which were in Estimoah, and to them which were in Rakel, and to them which were in the cities of Jeromelites, and them which were in the cities of the Kenites, to them which were in Hormah, to them which were in Chorashin, and to them that which were in Athach, to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. So every place that these people had attacked, God, through the spoils, has given David all the spoils that these men had taken. David has returned it to all of them with salutations. Chapter 31, book of 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before, because what did God tell Samuel to tell Saul? Tomorrow you're going to be dead. So the battle is no way it can go well for Saul and the Israelis, because Saul has transgressed against God so badly. This is the final straw. And fell down slain in Mount Gilboa, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadad and Michua, Saul's son, and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. He was badly wounded. He had some arrows sticking out of him. And said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. I don't want them to take me, because they're going to do bad things to me before I die. But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. It's a suicide indication here, but later in the chapter, this young fellow tells David that he actually killed Saul, but the intent of suicide was there. Okay, I know there's a lot of preachers out there tell you commit suicide, you're going to hell. This Bible does not say that. It is a sin of murder. You're killing yourself. You know, there are a lot of good Christians that have got to that point, and Christ is not going to throw you away. That is not the unpardonable sin. I mean, not condoning it, but if you know anyone in your life that has done that to themselves, it is not the thoughts of hopelessness, okay? If their heart followed after Christ, their heart followed after God, He will preserve them even through that. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, okay, now see there, it's a little contradiction because shortly thereafter, someone's going to give a different report. But if you just read to this point, you say that Saul has killed himself. And what did Samuel say to Saul, the ghost of Samuel, in the last chapter? So if Saul has indeed just killed himself, Samuel said, it doesn't matter, Saul, tomorrow you'll be here in paradise with me. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. It's often been thought that this other young fellow was trying to gain favor with David by telling him that he actually killed Saul because he knew that Saul was trying to kill David, and that may very well be what the case is. When the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and Philistines came and dwelt in them. It came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. They fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. That is the end of Saul and the beginning of the reign of David. 1 Samuel. So, Israel got its king, but it didn't work out very well because the king is supposed to be the moral guidance of the land. And Saul was not that. The king is supposed to get his moral guidance from God and then pass it out to the people. But Saul forgot that. Saul became enthralled with himself and his glory. And the fact that there was some little fellow running around who was doing God's work, but getting more glory than him. And it ate him up. His ego was bigger than his ability to do God's will. So we end the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to catch you next time in the book of 2 Samuel. I've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7 on Understanding the Bible, and it's always a good day to be in God's Word, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.